Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 127 of season 7 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today on not the final day of this week, even though it's a Friday, is Eric Paul, the host of Everything Is Primary Source podcast. Welcome back to the show, Eric.
It's great to be here once again, and I have enjoyed our stroll down the credit lane, and it's amazing how many stories come from and reflections come from just, typed print on a screen, but it happens.
Yeah, that as we mentioned earlier this week, that's sort of one of the things I love about talking, doing credit scenes minute by minute. Because you learn something, you learn things that you never would have even thought of. So why not? All right. So
that's why media is made, right?
That is true. That is true. So minute 127 begins with the end of the Pacific Title digital credit, and ends with the South Carolina unit. So again, we're continuing with the credits. This time we see all 8 people that worked for Pacific Title Digital in LA, as we talked about yesterday, they had 80 something movies that they worked on. So that's still pretty amazing. Sorry, 78. Yeah. It's 78. Credits to them. So yeah, that's just very, very cool. And as the credits continue there, we get some of the sound design and supervision. And then we get a bunch of the sound editors. We have 7 sound editors for this movie. And then we have the ADR supervisor, which is a guy named Avram Gold. And I actually looked it up because the name just jumped out at me. And he has 137 IMDb credits. He's done this sound editing work in on a lot of movies. And then we get the Foley editors and the assistant sound editors and the people doing the sound effects recording, and then more re-recording mixers. And, then we have the whole idea of where they're doing all their Foley work with all the different people doing that with the ADR mixers and people who are dubbing. And then you have the music supervisors and, people dealing with all the music stuff. And, I love the fact that this movie really is a national movie by the way that it jumps around all different places. I mean, the music they actually performed in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know.
I saw that.
So again,
it's all networking, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But it's just very cool that, you have to take so many people with you place to place. Even though within the credits they do mention that this is like the unit that worked here and this is the unit that worked there, but there's still a lot of people that you have to deal with the logistics of getting them, from place to place, which I just think is just very, very strange. It's a strange concept. That's right. It's a strange concept.
And it's like, it's a marvel of a thing. It's like I was saying yesterday with, all the jobs, because then, these people moving from one place to another and being there for a long, that's hotel rooms that you have to pay for. That's, they're making business from that. I stayed at a hotel one time that had a film crew was there, and they were not, and I have no idea what they were filming, but they were not a very polite group. But it was, it was just the weirdest thing. And then I asked the next day, I'm like, why was there so many people like partying in the main lobby area? And they're like, oh, it's some movies being made. And I'm like, okay, well, But they, I mean, that's, they were probably crew, and just like all the cast lists we're listing off right now. Just going back to Avram D. Gold, I noticed that he worked on Speed the year before Die Hard with a Vengeance. Mm-hmm. And thematically and just visually, very similar movies. You know, having kind of like a voice of God telling people, you know, kind of manipulating the way people behave, you know, with the threat of horrific things happening. And the sound, absolutely a very important thing in both those movies.
Oh, for sure.
To really, you know, hit the intensity level up, you know, to get those explosions, crashing cars, just the sound of the motions and everything covered. Well,
isn't ADR, you know, just like looping in dialogue afterwards and stuff like that, you know, so that you can hear it over the other sound.
Yeah, such loud movies, you know, making sure the dialogue is audible is a talent in itself, you know.
For sure.
I remember learning one time just how many movies are redubbed in post-production, and I was like, wow, like, so basically none of the dialogue is actually done live. It seems like almost all of it is done afterwards. It's, yeah, especially in these kinds of action movies, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, that always amazes me also, because they have to get it synced perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just really is an amazing thing. And then the credits continue, and they start giving us some of the other companies. So we have, once again, Titles and Optics by Pacific Title, and then the Prints and Color, and the Dailies Advisor, and the Negative Cutter, and the Color Timer. And, you know, they give thanks to Panavision for giving them the various cameras. And then I found some really interesting things here. They have the main title designed by Intralink Film Graphic Design. So here you have this company that, you know, wanted to specialize in making the main title credits of movies, right? And so I looked up and said, that must be a company that has done so many movies and stuff like that. They only have 12 credits to their name. Which means that they probably didn't, it didn't work as well as they had hoped that it would. You know, because if you have a company like that where their goal is to do this, and but they only have 12 credits, but also the years that their credits are spanned is just crazy. I mean, they did Blade Runner in 1982, but they also did the Da Vinci Code in 2006.
Huh.
So
that's curious.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if maybe it's not somebody's full-time gig, or maybe it's just like a company that they, you know, put the open sign out when they need to, and they find work otherwise.
Well, again, the fact that it's called Intralink Film Graphic Design means that apparently is what they want to do. But actually, most of their movies are from the early 80s.
Okay.
And then they have I think like three from the mid 2000s, and then this is the only movie they worked on in the 90s. Again, according to the IMDb. So very strange. You know, I wasn't able to get a little more information about the company itself, but I think that speaks for itself that they're an extremely successful company that has been able to keep themselves running for 40 plus years, you know, on these budgets that they're getting from these 12 movies, or I don't know. Who knows?
Well, I just came across a episode of a podcast from Trailer Geeks and Teaser Gods, a tribute to Intralink Film and Graphic Design and its legendary leader, Anthony Goldschmidt. So there must be some kind of, if somebody's legendary, I'm just kind of curious as to Yeah, he even has a Wikipedia entry. I don't want to take up our conversation just scouring the internet, but it's a given the kinds of projects he's worked on, from Blazing Saddles all the way through Angels and Demons and The Dark Knight, and like you said, Da Vinci Code. I'm curious if it's like a company that needs to be a company when it, you know, or exists when it needs to, and then doesn't really exist when it doesn't need to, and does other work on the side.
Oh wow! I mean, he passed away in 2014. Goldschmidt.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's,
according to what I see here, they mainly did posters.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes a little more sense if that's their.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
That's the type of graphic design that they were doing. So apparently, yes, they are a much. they're much more prolific than I mentioned.
Yeah,
I mean, I apologize for belittling them based just on their IMDb.
When I saw the list of the posters he's worked on, I'm like, those are all pretty big movies.
Yeah, like, he worked on E.T. Blazing Saddles.
I can picture like the poster for every single one of these movies on the list.
Yeah, so. Me too. I'm looking at it. You have Shawshank and you have Apollo 13 and The Green Mile.
Let's delete that previous 5 minutes where we.
Don't need to delete it. I've corrected myself, so I'm good now.
Yeah, no, it's great. Twisters, the remake of Psycho. He's done it all.
Yeah. And, then as we continue with the credits, the next one is the end title design. and so the name of that company is Nina Saxon Film Design, which,
of course,
which they have 155 IMDb credits. So that's a little more. Meaning maybe they deal more with end titles than posters. How's that?
Yes, so that might even be more meta than Pacific title,
right,
in this case, that of this person crediting themselves. This is their work. And end credits, I mean, there seems to be a craft to it. It's not, they're not all the same. You know, sometimes they'll have little graphics embedded into them, or, you know, stylized in some way. Like I think about the movie The Terminal, where it's signatures of all of the actors and crew and stuff is the end credits. And even just the pacing of the scroll seems to be, there's some thinking behind it, you know, that they
right.
You know, the format and everything. So not all end credits are the same.
Which is good, because it makes it interesting. Otherwise it'd be just boring if it was all the same. Yeah. So I'm glad they did. And basically, then after that, we have what's known as the transportation captain, which I always loved that they sound like made up titles.
You know? Yeah.
They're like, okay, we need a driver. No, I don't want to be known as a driver. I want to be known as a transportation captain. And they're like, hey, you know what? All right, that has a ring to it. We'll call you the transportation captain. And then the guy next to him goes, hey, but I want to be the transportation co-captain, and then the
sergeant.
That's right. And then the third one is a shot maker driver, which I don't know what that really means. Maybe he's the guy who needs to make sure that you're there on time for the shot. I don't know. But the transportation captain in this movie is James P. Whalen Sr. And he has 50 IMDb credits in this role as a transportation captain, which means he must be a good driver.
Yeah, this is all very good evidence of the movie industry never getting rid of jobs. Like, it seems like they've just added them as the years have gone on. And at some point, like you said, no pun intended, down the road, somebody was like, I am, you know, because it sounds very like 1920s or 30s. There's a transportation captain, sir. And, you know, it's like that job title is added to, like, if you're making a movie, you need to have a transportation captain,
right?
And you have to have an aviatrix, and, you know, you have to have, you know, craft services and best boys and all. And it's like, they don't seem to update or toss out their jobs and the job titles very often. They just pile them on.
Right. Yeah, no, again, what we're finding out here, and again, this is the seventh time that I'm doing a movie. It's only the fifth that has credits at the end, but still, we're learning about all these different, jobs that people have that they are in, you know, what they're in charge of and stuff like that, in order to make the big picture work.
Yeah, and it works in a lot of cases, not all of them, but I'm curious with like a bad movie. You know, this is definitely not a bad movie, but with a bad movie, if it ever has anything to do with some of these very support role type jobs, like if the, you know, transportation captain was a really bad transportation captain, is that the reason why said movie is unwatchable? Or is it all just like piled on top of each other, or is it just the fact that it's, you know, is it a top down or is it a bottom up, or is it just everybody stinks in those situations? It's a
right. I mean, I think
a fun question to ask.
I think part of it also is that, I mean, this is a off the set position. So, you know, so it's not as if it's, someone that is driving the characters. He's my assumption is he's driving the actors. You know, so didn't really affect the actors unless, you know, the actor is getting really pissed off at the way that he was brought in, you know, that morning.
Yeah.
Might
throw him off.
By the transportation captain.
Yeah. He's a, you know, maybe it's, not a good driver, gets in a bad mood, does a bad take that day, and, you know, we end up with a, you know, poor results. But yeah, I wouldn't want to put too much pressure on that job to tell him that, you know, these movies are terrible because of him.
Yeah, probably not a good idea to do that. And then after that, we get the costume designers and wardroom supervisors and stuff like that. And then it starts with the second unit. Okay, so we get all of these people who are working on the second unit, which my understanding of the second unit is basically the action. They film all the action scenes. You know, that's what it comes down to. And, you know, here they have their DGA training here also, Brian York. You know, it's another one. And the director of photography is a man named Tom Priestley, who he himself is the son of another movie director who was born in 1917 and passed away in 1993. And he was known for the fact that he was nominated for an Oscar for Best Documentary in 1980, which is known as The Killing Guard. So I just found it really, really cool that Priestley himself, you know, not his father, is... he has 74 IMDb credits as a camera operator, 36 as a cinematographer, and 3 as the assistant director, second unit. So again, this is a guy who's been on a lot of movie sets in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he needs to make sure to get everything done right. You know, and I guess it didn't hurt the fact that he is a junior, meaning that his father was able to lead the way for him.
And one of the more important jobs on a film set, too, to say the least.
Yeah. And then, if you continue down on the credits, you continue with them. And then you get someone who is the script supervisor, BJ Bjorkman. And, he has 35 IMDb credits as the script supervisor or continuity in charge of continuity. And stuff like that. So, you know, that is a very important job in this type of movie, to make sure that things look and feel proper, the whole thing. And then as we're winding down this minute, we get to the South Carolina crew, you know, the South Carolina unit. And the only name that really jumped out of here at me is the construction coordinator here, who's Bruce Gefeller. And why does that stand out for me? Because when I did Die Hard 1, you know, the at the point where John and Hans meet, you know, upstairs, and, you know, he's doing the fake accent. So there's a board behind him, behind, I believe, John, with a list of, like, a whole bunch of names. And it had the name Bruce Gefeller on there. And I said, oh, my God, someone misspelled the name. And then I started doing a little bit of research, and I found out that he was one of the guys, you know, in the movie, you know, on the yeah. crew, and they used his name there.
Right.
So he himself has 33 movie credits. So, yeah, he did.
I feel like that's a common trend with people involved in the art department and doing, you know, that kind of work, is that, you know, they get to hide things in plain sight. I think we share this in common. I watch a lot of movies over and over again, and I also love looking into the background.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a movie I've seen a billion times, I'm like, well, I can afford to miss the action up close and focus on something in the background. And it's all very deliberate.
Yes.
You know, that if there is something, you know, like words in the background, you can be sure that the considering all that effort that goes into making a movie, that there's probably a reason why that word is back there. And even if it's just a little inside joke like this, you know, having the member of the art department. And I see that he was involved in, like you said, the original Die Hard and some of the other mid-90s, very similar movies like Demolition Man, Chain Reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So seems to have his favored kind of movie that he likes to work with.
Yeah, and we can't complain about that because, you know, he does a very good job.
Yeah.
He's a good construction
even coordinator. Even if all the way down to South Carolina. Yeah.
You can't go wrong if you use Bruce Gefeller as your as your construction coordinator.
He knows his stuff, and he'll always write his name on everything.
That he does. And then we continue a little bit for a few more seconds, and then in the middle of the South Carolina unit, we just get cut off, and that's it.
Okay.
So the one thing that I found really interesting, and this I found via IMDb, it's not even when I was watching the movie itself, was that the first assistant director, whose name is Carl Goldstein, is listed in IMDb both as the first assistant director and the second unit director. Which I don't know the story behind that. It sounds like there should be a story behind that. You know, I also always find it strange that there are sometimes, you know, crew members that appear in numerous places, you know, in the credit, the same person doing different type of work and stuff like that.
I guess versatility might be one way of saying
okay.
it, or, sure. you know, maybe one job isn't as demanding as the other and they can.
Well, first assistant director and second unit director, those both sound a little more demanding than one might think. But hey, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just guessing. Don't know for sure.
You could get the transportation captain to do one of those jobs too, because all he's driving cars around. So.
But he's. But he must be a very good driver.
Yeah, you know. He could be the second assistant director. You know, one of the things that I do, like I said, I have a template of questions that I ask when I analyze, in this case, a movie as a primary source. And one of the questions that, if it didn't sound like this so much the other day, I'll reaffirm that I like to focus a lot on geography.
Okay.
As dictating why things happen, or the way that, in this case, art comes out. And, you know, so the question in the template is, where was this made and what locations are associated with it? What's interesting about this movie is, you know, just with the exception of the final scene, it takes place, like the only location really associated with Die Hard the Vengeance is New York City and the surrounding area. But it was made in several places. Right. And it, you know, so it's like that, it, you know, it seems very arbitrary, South Carolina. I don't know if there was some kind of like tax incentive or, you know, they were given more, no pun intended, liberty to do things that they could do down there and not in where the Statue of Liberty actually is, in New York, smart, like smashing stuff up or, you know, having, I imagine some of those scenes involving cars on the road and traffic and stuff that you really can't block New York City area traffic for, during the daytime, you know, for very long before people get like, you know, honking their horn, like, oh, don't worry, it's a Bruce Willis movie. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are scenes in this movie that there's, yeah, there, it amazes me that they were able to film.
Right. I mean, it's like they must have had some kind of, and you were saying that's where the South Carolina unit came in, is that they did a lot of that action stuff down there because they weren't having to deal with actual New York City.
Right.
So it's, you know, I think this movie, you and I wouldn't ever write it off as just another action movie from the 90s, but to some it would come across that way. And yet, as we mentioned in the last couple of days, this is like a national, it was like building the, you know, it's like the Apollo program or something, and, you know, getting people from all corners of the country to contribute their talents and, you know, making the music in Seattle and filming the traffic scenes in South Carolina and, you know, having New York City, you know, being the those, you know, very recognizable locations. Right.
They have stuff that they filmed in Maryland and, yeah, there's a whole bunch of, but
yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Throughout this last couple of days of talking, I've been thinking about the Simpsons episode of when Radioactive Man comes to town and they film the movie there, and you know, they spill the secrets of how they, you know, make movies, like you know, they're painting horses because they're like on camera, you know, horses look like cows. You know, and then like, well, what do you need, what do you do if you need a you know, a real horse, and they're like, we just tape a bunch of cats together. And, you know, it's like that movie magic thing. It's like, you know, I talked with a couple of years ago on my podcast, I had one of the lead tour guides of the Christmas Story house in Cleveland. And I've been to that house before and I've toured around, and it's where they did the exterior shots for the 1984 movie Christmas Story. And I just watched the newest one, A Christmas Story, Christmas. And I asked the guy, I said, so they filmed that right there, because it looked identical to where I'd actually been in the house. He's like, nope, they didn't film it here at all. He's like, that's movie magic for you. I'm like, that's incredible. Wow. That they were able to make the neighborhood look identical to the original one and not film it there. He's like, yeah, we didn't see a single person from that film crew come to this neighborhood in Cleveland.
Wow.
So I just assumed they covered up the signs and said it was a museum, and he was like, no, it wasn't even us at all.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's incredible. And that's not like an elaborate Die Hard with a Vengeance type movie. It's a simple nostalgia film, but yet, you know, that's I guess the unseen and oftentimes thought about efforts that go into
this. Yeah, for sure. All right, very cool. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it up. So once again, nothing to talk about on the script because there's nothing going on here in the script. But every Friday we have a segment called Name That Movie. So the premise of this segment is the idea that you know, this movie itself, as we talked about earlier this week, was originally titled Simon Says. So I went and made a list of 155 movies that have different original titles than what was eventually released. Now, some of them are just fake titles that they use to throw off the paparazzi, you know, on the way. So basically what I'll do is I'll tell you the name of the original title of the movie and the year, and you have to try and guess what the movie that we're talking about is based just on the title. Now,
Right.
there are lifelines. You can ask for the director, you can ask for some of the actors, things like that to help you try and figure these out. All right, so we shall
Probably do horribly, but we'll
we'll
see.
see. We'll see. I hope you will do better than you think. Okay, so the first movie from 1999, a movie that was originally titled Comfort Food.
Okay, comfort food. 99. Oh shoot. Is it a comedy?
Yes.
Who's the main star?
If I give that away, you're going to get it in a second. Let's see what name I can give you that will. Okay, Eugene Levy is in the movie.
Oh, American Pie.
Yeah. Okay. If I would have said Jason Biggs, you for sure would have gotten it. So I was like, all right, I'll go there. All right, very good. Okay, for the next one from 1990, a movie that was originally titled Wise Guy.
Oh, Goodfellas.
Okay, very good. Written by Nicholas Pileggi. Pileggi.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is from 1995. The original title was Coma Guy.
Oh boy. It wouldn't be Awakenings because that was
No, that was
in the
1991.
80s.
That was 91.
Yeah. Oh, 91. Okay, so that wouldn't be that. Is there any names you can give me that won't give it away?
Michael Rispoli.
Coma guy. I'm drawing a blank on this one.
Jack Warden.
Oh no. Okay, just give
Right, Peter Boyle.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Peter Gallagher.
Oh, yes. What well, I cannot stand this movie. While you were sleeping.
Yes,
Yeah.
very good, very good.
My wife puts it on earlier and earlier every year. It's one of her Christmas movies. And every year she puts that's probably why I erased it from my mind. So yeah, while you're sleeping.
Next, from 1995, You Are a Toy.
Oh, Toy Story.
Of course. Of course. All right, and the final one, this is a fake title that was used during production of a movie from 2016. That was known during production as Sputnik.
So 2016, it wouldn't be, I'm torn between two of them. It would be Hidden Figures,
Nope.
or the other one I was thinking is would be First Man.
Nope. Nope. First Man came out in
Oh.
2017, I believe, or
Does it
2018.
have anything to do with space programs at all, or is it
Nope.
just
Nope. Not at all.
they just call this Sputnik for Can I ask the director?
Again, the director is going to give it away right away, but
Oh, okay. How about the actor, an actor in it?
an actor in it. Wow, there's so many different actors in this that are just going to completely throw you off. Daniel Brühl.
Is it live action or is it animated?
Is live action.
Live action Sputnik 2016. But this title was a red herring. It wasn't meant to
Yes.
be
That's
like they
right.
never intended to call it that. It was just to throw people off.
It was intended to throw people off, but there is a reason for it. It's
Okay.
deeply connected to the premise of the movie.
Boy. So
All right, let's see who else I can give you on
okay.
this list. John Slattery.
What genre of a movie is it? Is it a comedy? Is it an action? Is
This
it
is an action movie.
action movie? Oh man. maybe get one or two more names.
Frank Grillo.
I'm blanking on this one. You said the director would give it away, though.
Oh, completely. But I'll give you the director if you want.
That was when I was like a new dad in 2016 and didn't really get to the theaters very often or even know what movies were coming out. So,
okay.
This one.
Okay. So the
did very well.
It was directed by a pair of brothers. I'll leave it at that for right now. Let's leave that out.
Oh, right. Like the, okay. I'm not going to get this one.
Okay.
But as soon as you say it, I'll be.
It's Anthony and Joe Russo are the directors.
Okay. Is the actual title also just one word?
No.
Okay.
The actual title is two words followed by a colon and then two more words. It is part of a movie series.
Okay. Oh, is it? It wouldn't be. No, it couldn't be Rogue One because that's.
No, that was the same year, but it was not Rogue One, no.
Yeah. Okay. But you said it didn't have anything to do with like space or anything.
No. Yeah. Well, okay, here I'll try to move you in the right direction. So besides Sputnik being something from space, where is Sputnik from?
Oh, Russia. And is it red? Something to do with like the Soviet Union or?
No, the Soviet Union is connected to it, but whatever. All right, I'll give you another actor, Sebastian Stan.
Okay. I'm not going to get this. I'm totally like, I'm swirling around in outer space right now with just like no idea what movie it is.
Anthony Mackie.
If you don't mind, just. Yeah. This isn't helping. I feel so silly.
Chris Evans.
What is the?
Chris Evans is the lead actor.
Oh, is this Captain America: The First Avenger?
No, that was 2011.
Captain America, right? But is it a Captain America movie?
Yes, it is.
Captain America, and then it wouldn't be the Winter Soldier, right?
No, because that's three words and not two.
Right,
and that was 2013. Something
to do with. The first, no, we already got the first. Some, is it one of those Avengers movies, though?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I've actually never really watched any of those.
Okay. All right. So it's
a Captain America movie.
Captain America Civil War.
Civil War. I could have guessed.
You shouldn't feel
Chris
bad.
Evans. That,
that's right.
You shouldn't feel bad. If I had cheated, though, it would have been over by now.
But. That's right. That's right. But I'm glad you didn't cheat.
I was shamed out of it.
I did worse about I think 4 or 5 years ago. I was on a podcast that my good friend Jay Kluwitt did, and he had like this super game, and there were like 20 of us that were playing the game, and you had to guess, you know, actors who are part of the Marvel universe. And I was the only person who got knocked out in the first round. I couldn't think of a name of somebody that wasn't already mentioned, even though there were hundreds that we could choose from. So right. You see, we all have, sometimes we are put on the spot with things and it just doesn't work.
That was like a lull in my movie-dom era. Cause like I said, I was like,
fair enough.
Didn't get out to the movies very often back then.
you have a good reason. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, Eric, would you like to, for one final time this season, tell people where they can find you?
Sure. On Instagram, I'm at Everything is a Primary Source. That's also where, if you go wherever you get your podcasts, I know it's kind of a long title, but Everything is a Primary Source, where we look at history through the lens of pop culture, analyzing things like movies, TV shows, books, games, toys, whatever it is, everything, as documents of the past, and online, just the regular landing spot would be everything-history.com.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you feel like shooting me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Eric, thank you very much for joining me these past few days. It's been a lot of fun. It's been very educational for me too. And
I'm so glad that you had me.
yeah. And I want to remind people that we only have two episodes left to this season, so there will be another episode tomorrow, and there'll be an episode on Sunday, and then Monday we start season 8. So everyone, I'm not gonna say have a great weekend because I'll be back tomorrow. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah! We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah! The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.